Well, I guess this thing is on again. It's now October the 5th, 2011. And I can't really remember where I was when I quit last night. So you'll probably get some repetition here. Anyway, going back to high school. I started high school in 1931 after graduating from Daniel Bagley. And that time I was living up on 4th Northeast with my folks and my grandmother. And at that location, I probably was scheduled to go to Roosevelt High School. But all of my friends and classmates from Daniel Bagley went to Lincoln. And so that's where I went. And I don't think they were too fussy in those days about requiring you to go to the school within your own limits. Started out as a freshman, 1931. And it was a great school. I enjoyed Lincoln very much. Was not very new school, but it had good teachers and good programs, and I enjoyed it. I took the usual subjects and had no trouble with math. I took botany and zoology and enjoyed both of those very much. But it took no foreign languages, took shop, learned how to run a lathe and do some metal shop work also. Just had a great time. And had many friends there. I was selected to be in the Lynx Club, which is a sort of a service organization. Worked around the school and had various jobs. About, I think it was beginning of the senior year when I met Lorene. And she was a Girl Scout. Her mother was a Scout leader, and they were having her scout troop dance at her folks' home. And of course they had to invite boys to come, and I don't think Lorene was particularly attracted to me, but I was one that she asked if I would come to the dance. Well, I told her I didn't know how to dance. So she said, well, you come on over and I'll teach you. So I did, and she lived at 142 Northeast 51st, I believe it was. And a very nice home up on a bank. And so they had an attic, which was not finished, but was accessible, and they had the Victrola up there. So I would come over, and we would go up and put a record on the Victrola, wind it up, and she taught me how to dance. So I went to the dance. And, of course, I was very attracted to her. She was a tall, skinny young lady, beautiful smile, and she was kind of teacher's pet in some ways. She took attendance in study hall, among other things, and I was in study hall at that time. So she would go down the aisles checking off each person who was there. And when she would come to me, she would wink. Well, that was kind of an attraction. And she had a beautiful red sweater with a long fur on a thing. And very attractive young lady. So we started to date, I guess you'd call it, although I didn't have any money. My folks were, at that time, had moved, by that time, had moved to my grandmother's rental home on 47th, just off of Stoneway, which was very convenient for me to go to school. But we started to date, and they had PTA dances in those days over at the Green Lake Fieldhouse. And Lorena and I would volunteer to help with decorating and things like that, and to be together a little more than just at the dance. And we also played tennis. She played tennis, and I had to learn how. And it was a cheap date because they didn't charge anything for it. We played up at Woodland Park. And we had a lovely time. We had friends who, Bob Granston was one that particularly comes to mind. In those days, boys didn't have cars. I think there were three cars that were owned by boys in high school. And Bob Granston had the use of his father's car, Willie's Knight. And so we would go to dances. Bob would take us and other couples, crowded into that car, and we would go to dances around. And we would go to movies. I could sometimes get 10 cents, I believe it was, from my folks to go to a movie. I couldn't take her, but she had no trouble paying her own way. And we would often come back to my folks' house, and my mother could always scare up something to eat. She, at that time, toasters, cheese sandwich toasters, were in just coming in, and she had one of those, and so we could have toasted cheese sandwiches or maybe some other item for after dances or after dates. And she was great friends with Ernestine Collins, or Ernestine Duncan at that time, who was very popular and had many boyfriends, and including Gail Osterloh, and I can't remember some of the others, but we would often come back to my folks' place and have cheese sandwiches after a dance or a date. And my folks, to bring up to date on them, they lost their home up on 4th Northeast in their beautiful Rio car. And I don't know what else, but they had practically no money whatsoever. Moved in to a rental home that my grandmother had on North 47th, just off of Stoneway. And my dad couldn't get a job, looked very desperately. And they were approached by somebody that I don't know how well they knew him, but he was going to do gold mining in Montana, and I don't remember exactly where in Montana. I think it was the northern part. And he wanted my dad to buy a dump truck so that my dad could haul the ore to the smelter, to the mill. So I guess they thought that was about the best they could do, so he did buy a truck, a dump truck. And of course he had to be gone during the months when he was working, which was the most part, I think, for a couple of years. So it was, I was the man of the house, and I had to keep the furnace going and do all the work that had to do with that. My grandmother had at least to begin with, a sawdust burner furnace. And so sawdust was inexpensive, I'm sure. And they would practically fill the basement with sawdust during the off season. And it was damp and it smelled something awful. Not, you know, a very wood smell, and filled the house with smell. And it worked pretty well, but sometime during the year or two that followed, they changed over to coal. And it was kind of had a hopper that you put the coal in the top, and it worm gear put it into the furnace so that it didn't need to be personally filled. It worked pretty well, but it was a lot of work, and of course you had to take out the embers or slag that was left and periodically. And it was a lot of work for me, but I did what I could, and I couldn't get a job either, of course. So time went on, and I graduated from high school and my folks managed to get enough money together to enroll me at the University of Washington in the College of Forestry. I was interested in forestry, I think mainly because of my Uncle Earl, who was involved in measuring logs that had been cut and rafted into various parts of the Puget Sound, wherever there was a mill. And he worked for a bureau that where their figures for the amount of board feet in a log or in a raft of logs was accepted by both the logging company and by the mill. And it was that accurate. So he was around quite a bit, and I admired him. And during the summer I often went and stayed with him, and I would go out with him on the logs to record whatever he indicated was the amount of board feet in a log. So I decided to go into forestry. And I did okay. I was on the dean's list the first year. And enjoyed the studies, which was part of the College of Forestry. About that time, Lorene's dad, who was a railway mail clerk, found out that the Seattle post office, back post offices everywhere, had not hired anybody during the previous years where the Depression was affecting everything. They hired people as temporaries, and where they were needed. So in about 1936, maybe it was the end of 35, they announced that they were going to give examinations for postal clerks and carriers and rail and mail clerk people. And Cecil thought that maybe I should take the exam. So he provided me with a sort of a mail order course in taking that type of exams, which was helpful. And I took the exam along with, gosh, there must have been thousands of people who, from every kind of a skill you might imagine, doctors, lawyers, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, anything you can imagine, people took the exam because the government during the Depression did not fire anybody. They sometimes cut down on their hours, but they never were without work and did very well during the Depression. So they were all eager to get on the list and become a postal employee. So, and I did very well on the exam, and must have been early part of 36. The government announced that they were going to pay some sort of bonuses to veterans of World War I. And they did this through the post office. So they had to hire extra people, and they took them off the list, and I was one that was selected to work for a short period of time registering World War I veterans for this bonus. And I worked there, oh, for, I don't know, a couple of months maybe, did pretty well. And then that work was over. And it wasn't very long before I was called to be a temporary substitute postal clerk. And so I accepted that, and I think that was probably during the summer. So I worked there, and I was making at 65 cents an hour. I was making probably $150 average on a month. There was no guarantee of how much I would make, but the hours were there, and I worked. And then came time to go back to school again, to college. So I went to my second year of college in the fall of 36, I guess. And also worked as a temporary substitute postal clerk. Well, it was very difficult because I was getting enough hours that I had a very difficult time going to school. And I realized that graduate foresters, if they could get a job, were getting jobs at $150 a month. So I thought, well, why should I continue in school when I'm making that much money already in the post office? And I was very interested in Lorene, of course, and wanted to get married. Yes, he wasn't too happy about that, and of course neither her folks nor mine were in favor of that, because I was 20, and, well, I was 19, she was 18. So anyway, as a result, I quit college at the end of the second quarter, I think it was, for the second year, and I went to work totally for the post office, and pressured Lorene even more. She was so happy with the sorority and all of her activities there, including going out with fraternity boys that I didn't necessarily approve of, because they had cars and were pretty fancy. And anyway, she finally agreed, and we agreed to get married when I was 20 and she was 19, in October 23rd, 1937. And we agreed on that long before that date. In the meantime, I continued to work at the post office. I gathered enough money together to buy a 32, I think it was, Chevrolet coupe with a rumble seat. And that took us to dances and stuff like that with our friends in the rumble seat. The only time I got a ticket for speeding was in that car, and it was not necessarily because I was speeding, but the people in the rumble seat were making a lot of noise, and of course we were too, and too happy on the way to a dance, and that was the time I got a ticket. And I think it was Ernestine, and I can't remember who she was dating at that time. And where do we go from here? Doreen really enjoyed her sorority, which was Sigma Kappa. She had a great many friends there, particularly those in her class. It was the Mu chapter of Sigma Kappa. And they had a beautiful sorority house, which I was invited to take of their special deals, including dinners and dances and stuff like that. And so the wedding was to be at the University Presbyterian Church with the reception following at Sigma Kappa, if I'm not mistaken. Seems like we had an awful lot to do with the sorority at that time. So I better leave it there when we were just about to get married.